I'm reading from 107, verse 33 to 43. He turned rivers into desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste, because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned the desert into pools of water, and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who poured contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste, but he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flock. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed their things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord.
And as the kids are leaving, let's join together in prayer as we anticipate this morning's message and all that's going to happen yet in this service. So let's pray together. Spirit of the living God, you have fallen afresh on this creation, and you have fallen afresh on your church in the past, and we ask that you, the Spirit of life and the Spirit of holiness and the Spirit of Jesus the Christ, you would come and fall afresh on us this morning. That this word that we've heard from Psalm 107 would not be a dry word, and that the message that I bring this morning would not be a dry message, and that John Chalkis, as he shares with us this morning, would not be received in any kind of dry way, but we would have hearts and lives to hear about the seeds of hope ministry. And then, Lord, we'd also have a fresh encounter with you, Lord Jesus, morning later on during our time around the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. So, Spirit of living God, fall afresh on us this morning. Change us and mold us and shape us to be the people of Jesus in this time and in this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we started a sermon series. We're calling it Noticing God in the Psalms especially. And we're using the book of Psalms right in the middle of your Bibles as a place to go and sort of find God or notice God in the everyday stories of life. So I call the Psalms, sometimes I call them Psalms. I'm going to also refer to them just as songs. They're poetry, they're poems, they're songs. I like to think of them also as songs of God, songs that people sang to God, but also that God has given us. And we are encouraging each other to read or sing one or two or three psalms a day. And I know that for some of us, you know, when the pastor says it's time to read the Bible or read a psalm or two or three a day, it feels like a heavy. Ugh. I got to do something else with my day. I got to try and fit this into my day. I got all the busyness going on, and I got to try and read the Bible. And I know that for some of us, it's really challenging. But I'm finding, you know, I do a little bit of driving these days. I'm like a taxi service. You know, our kids are going here and there and everywhere. And I find out, oh, I got half an hour in the car sometimes by myself. So I got, you know, psalms on my phone. Some of them are someone reading the psalms. Some people are singing the psalms. And I'm using that half an hour. I could do other things maybe in the car, possibly, I don't know. But I'm using that time to listen to the psalms. And three psalms go by pretty fast. So I'd encourage you, if you're at all able to find some time in your day or your week to read the psalms, I think it's going to help us as a church community. So last week we were going through Psalm 24, and I tried to say last week that Psalm 24 is about the earth belongs to the Lord, so this vision of God as the God over the whole earth. But then the psalm talks about the temple mountain. Who's going to stand on the temple mountain? I believe the Bible tells us Jesus stood on the temple mountain as the holy worshiper. And at the end we hear about, open up the gates. And I suggest it is the gates of the temple. That God wants to come into the temple. This God of the whole earth comes into this, actually a rather small temple in comparison to temples in that day. And I said, really, he wants to come into our hearts. So when you hear that Psalm 24, open up your gates, it's the gates of our hearts. And this morning, maybe you heard it in the psalm reading, but it's really the image of the storm or the tempest. Psalm 107 is about people being rescued in all kinds of situations in life. They are really four stories. So we made a decision not to read the whole psalm together. Maybe that was a bad decision. But if you were to read or hear Psalm 107 read at this all at the same time, from beginning to end, you would hear the pattern. You would hear the pattern of people who need to be rescued. And I noticed this pattern again this past week. I was watching the movie that came out a few years ago, Frozen. Now, maybe some of you have heard about the movie Frozen. Let it go. So I'm watching this movie with our youngest daughter, Sarah, cuddled up on the couch, and she's just, you know, learning to love that movie. And I realized again, and I know our kids are a little bit tired of hearing this, but I notice again in the movie Frozen, these incredible themes that happen in that movie, in so many movies and TV shows that we watch, and in the Bible over and over again. So I tell our kids, watch for these themes. Almost every movie has them. So Frozen had it as well. Everything begins nicely in the beginning. Birds are chirping, music singing, playing, and then something happens. There's a crisis. The kingdom is frozen. And so the whole movie, the rest of the movie is, how are we going to get the kingdom unfrozen? And this is the message of the Bible. We begin in creation. Everything is fine. The birds are chirping, music singing, and then there's a problem. Like the world is frozen. The world's in trouble. And the rest of the story of the Bible is, how are we going to get the world sort of unstuck or unfrozen or out of this curse? And so often, and again, in this movie, Frozen, we see this, it only happens. It only seems to ever happen when someone will sacrifice their life, right? Anna sacrificing her life for her sister Elsa. And when I think about these themes of what I would call creation, fall, redemption, everything's good, everything turns bad, and somehow everything has to be redeemed, theme of sacrifice or self-sacrifice, there's always someone or something that has to be rescued. So Elsa has to be rescued. In the Star Wars movies, Han Solo has to be rescued. Sometimes the world has to be rescued from alien invasion. Or Middle Earth has to be rescued. The list goes on. In Psalm 107, we have people who have to be rescued. And there are these four stories that happen. Or four situations of people in trouble. So sometimes people are in trouble because the structures around them are in trouble. The first story is there is no safe city to go to. So these people are wandering around, like, where can we go? And sometimes people are in trouble because of their wrong decisions. They've made wrong choices in life out of their own doing. They're in trouble. And sometimes because they're foolish, they're in trouble because other people are attacking them. And sometimes they're in trouble because of some natural disaster. And we have this image of people in this psalm on the sea, in the storm, in the tempest. And whenever people are in trouble, and they know they're in trouble, what do they usually do? Help! Help me, help us, save us, rescue us, get us out of this trouble. That's what I do. And that's what I assume all of us do. And the pattern in the psalm is people are in trouble for all different kinds of reasons. And they cry out to the Lord. That's the encouragement. Cry out to God. And then God responds. He saves, He delivers, He brings them out. And for next week's Sunday, we're going to be asking you, how does this psalm connect with your life? I'd like to ask specifically, how has God saved you, rescued you in your time of trouble? So today, this week, as we get ready for next week's Sunday, we'll be asking that kind of question. How does Psalm 107 connect with your life? And especially, how has or when has God rescued you? The one thing I'd like to just say about this psalm before I invite before we move into the presentation from the Seeds of Hope is that when I read this psalm and I think about the pattern, people are in trouble for all kinds of reasons. They cry out to God. God saves them. Right in between, they cry out to God and God saves them. I want to insert something that the psalm does. And the psalm says repeatedly that God loves to save His people. So we have four times in this psalm that we hear about God's unfailing love, verses 8, 15, 21, and 31. This is part of the pattern. They're in trouble. They cry out to God. God saves them. And God loves to save them. He has unfailing love in these times. We hear at the end of the psalm, ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Which maybe sounds obvious, but I want to suggest to you that whenever deeds are truly loving, the deed is loving, like, oh, I got helped, I got rescued, I got delivered. But for a deed to be truly and fully loving, it also has to have an attitude or a spirit of love. And I want to suggest that whenever God saves people, He wants to save people. He longs to save people. He loves to save people. When God saves people, He is not saying, I don't know. I don't know if I, okay, I'll save you, but I don't really want to. My heart's not in this. That's not God's approach. He doesn't say, boy, you're in a mess, and later on we'll talk about this. I'll save you, but later on we're going to talk about this. Or He doesn't say, boy, you sure are glad. I mean, you should be happy to have a God like me who comes and saves you. He doesn't come with that kind of attitude into our lives. I think God comes joyfully. He comes with longing and desire to save people. So I'm trying to suggest He doesn't save us like we sometimes try and save maybe other people, right? With kind of a condescending attitude, or, boy, I don't know, okay. No, God always delights in saving those who cry out to Him. And sometimes God saves people by using miracles, like in the Bible, open the Red Sea and save people. And sometimes God Himself shows up, especially in Jesus Christ. And sometimes God uses other people. He sends His servants to save people.